The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Well, amen. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. As you're finding yourself to your seat and getting situated, of course, we just want to welcome you. We want to invite you to our fellowship today here at Maranatha. Jeanette and I always consider it a privilege to have the opportunity to sow into your life, to share the richness of God's Word into your life, for you to encounter this exciting community here of faith that we're a part of at Maranatha. And as we've already worshiped Him in our time of singing and praise and song, at the end of our service today, we'll take some time to also worship Him in our giving of our tithe and our offering. We're going to go right into our Word this morning, and that's how we're going to worship Him now, is through the giving and receiving of His Word. So let's pray together and ask the Holy Spirit just to open up our understanding, and this allow the Holy Spirit to remain present with us during this time. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning and we worship You with an attitude of spirit and truth. And we know, Lord, that Your Word is truth. It's not just a truth, it is the truth. It is the way and it is the light. It is the life to us, Lord. And we thank You for this Word. And today, as we study Your Word, we ask that Your Holy Spirit will open up our understanding. That we'll receive Your Word and it will deposit the richness of Your Word in our hearts and it will bring forth a good harvest in our life. And so now we bless You, Lord, and we thank You for the time that we're going to share together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we agree. Amen and amen. Well, today is the last part of a teaching series that we've been working through titled Pentecost and Beyond. And I've titled today's teaching Faith, Race, Healing, and the Best Kind of Prosperity. Faith, Race, Healing, and the Best Kind of Prosperity. In our text, if you want to go ahead and turn, and we'll get there in a moment, turn with me to Acts chapter 6 and find yourself at verse 1. And that's where we're going to go into our text in a moment in this teaching. While you're turning there, and the scripture will be on the back screen behind me. Also, you have your Bible or you have it on your Bible app. So go ahead and just turn to Acts 6. And as you're turning there, this past week, no doubt you and I were sitting at some point in time glued to our TV or our computer checking the news feed when we learned that our nation was faced with another shocking reminder of what a world without a Christ center is like. Without a Christ-centered eternal peace, joy, and purpose, as well as destiny, we see a world that behaves like Charleston, like Ferguson, like Baltimore. And after the events of Charleston became more clear that our society without Christ was quick to lay blame on everything from a flag to a weapon. And like reading from an already prepared template, politicians and media commentators delivered their lines incapable of grasping the deeper spiritual reality of such violence. Sadly, such acts of violence are becoming more frequent, larger, and troubling. No doubt your social media feeds ran the full spectrum of opinions that were blaming God to calls for unified prayer and peace. Pundits and friends looked for angles and reasons as to what is wrong with our nation, Well, just a few days later, yesterday I read in the city of Graz, Austria, an Islamic terrorist plowed his car into a crowd of 50-plus people, killed several, and then got out of his car and began to stab people until he was finally stopped. ISIS continues to grow in violence and power, persecuting everyone who will not submit to Islam. In the Sudan, women and children continue to be the cattle for the global sex slave market. In Eritrea, in Myanmar, other parts of Asia, Christians are also being forced on death marches from their homes to nowhere except death as part of a religious purge. And these are just a few of the many global atrocities facing a, quote, civilized, unquote, world. But it is also a world that is increasingly secularized. And by secularized, I specifically mean a world in which solutions and responses to such evil are only created in the vacuum of thought that refuses to allow God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit to shape the hearts and minds and wills of men. And so the world continues. And it will be a world that will have more events here and abroad like Charleston because the nations are still looking for any solution other than God's prescribed way for faith, race, healing, and the best kind of prosperity. And I've thought long about the expression, senseless violence. And personally, I believe the very phrase is untrue. Violence has a demonic purpose, which means that one must admit there is real evil, and therefore real evil must have a real origin. And while its manifestation can be shocking, brutal, unexplainable, and tragic, at its core, it is meant to steal, kill, destroy, and divide. And with a Christ-centered, whole Bible worldview, the reader will quickly discover that the author of such at origin is Satan. And he is the adversary and no friend to God. And he is no friend to God's beautiful creation. His delight is in tearing down all order, especially God's designed order. And his plans and his purposes are far from senseless. In fact, for one to believe in the senseless is a critical misstep of the eternal design for creation. And while many will levy blame against God, the Bible, or even Christianity, the real attack is meant to steal, kill, destroy, and divide creation. Now, thankfully, if there is such an evil, then there also has to be an even greater love. A love that surpasses our understanding, and instead of stealing, it blesses. Instead of killing, it births life. And instead of destruction, it builds. And in place of division, it brings unity. After the tragic Charleston killings, there developed to a world without God, an unexplainable and even inconvenient narrative that forgiveness, love, and peace through Jesus prevailed over planned chaos and evil. Yes, there was still a hunt. Yes, there was still a hurt. Yes, there is a void that rests in the place where there was once life. And healing will take time. Wounds must mend and hearts regain their strength. Yet in the process, we will all be invited to join in a journey where we can participate with the plans and purposes of God rather than join a broken narrative that continues to feed evil. I can't help but discover a similar seedbed of hate was also developing in the early church. And that in a remarkable way the apostles responded, how they responded, provided us today with a template of action, attitude, word, and spirit. And in the text, we look at the events of Acts chapter 6, and we pick up those events immediately following the apostles being persecuted, beaten, imprisoned, even threatened, but coming through it all with greater joy, greater obedience, greater freedom, greater liberty, greater numbers of people coming to know Jesus personally. And yet, even in this, Satan is still trying to sow division and violence. And so let's turn to Acts 6 and see how. I'm going to read from the Message translation, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And it reads as follows. During this time, the disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds. Hard feelings developed among Greek-speaking believers called Hellenists toward Hebrew-speaking believers because their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food lines. So the 12, meaning the apostles, called a meeting of disciples. They said, it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities for preaching and teaching the word to help with the care of the poor. So friends, choose 7 men from among you whom everyone trusts, men full of the Holy Spirit and of good sense, and we will assign them to this task. Meanwhile, we will stick to our assigned tasks of prayer and speaking God's word. And so the congregation thought this was a very good idea. And they went ahead and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. And they presented them to the apostles, praying, and the apostles laid hands on them, commissioned them for their task, and the word of God prospered. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased dramatically, not least a great many of priests submitted themselves to the faith. That's where we'll stop the text. And I have a few points here I want to share with you that we can learn from this text in light of the conversation that we're having about being in Pentecost and beyond, living the life of faith, race, healing, and searching for the best kind of prosperity. The first point is as follows. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Again, it's on the screen behind you so you can follow along. The first point that we learn from this Acts 6 account is, even in seasons of growth, be aware the enemy is still looking to divide. Even in seasons of growth, be aware the enemy is still looking to divide. You know, we commonly make the mistake by allowing ourselves to think that once we, and I put this in quotes, make it, and make it for everyone is different, but once we make it, everything will settle just right. But sadly, that's not true. Successful bands break up, financially strong companies split, the lifestyles of the rich and famous are often parodies played out in the public of marriage, family life, and personal character. But we made it, right? We made it. Or we finally arrived. So are we not to desire to be people who want to make it or finally arrive? Do we want to live as people who just live failed lives? Well, the answer to that is obviously no. But rest assured, failure is a part of life. And failure often breeds division. In fact, division in failure is the tactic the enemy uses to discourage anyone. And there is no guarantee from that you will ever not have failure. But here is the guarantee that in the discouragement and the failure, if you are one who is in Christ, you learn how to have contentment. And so your contentment and your making it is only truly understood and appreciated when Jesus is the center and the guiding principle for your life. And so in whatever your vocation or your goals may be, please, I beg you, allow Jesus to be the one and allow His Holy Spirit to be the one who shapes you and guides you, because when He does, you will have lasting peace even in the seasons of discouragement, and you will have joy in the seasons of growth. And so even when you're trying to make it or finally arrive, do so with Christ at the center. Let Him be the lead. Because know that even when you're trying to make it, the enemy is still working to divide you. And in Acts 6, this is exactly what we see. We see a community that is growing, and yet, despite the growth, where everyone should be happy, there are seedlings of strife that leads to our second point. Race and hard feelings are often the favorite battleground for hatred, division, or violence. Race and hard feelings are often a favorite battleground for hatred, division, and violence. What are hard feelings? Well, we see in Acts that it tells us that hard feelings are literally complaints and grumblings. But think for a moment for yourself, what is a hard feeling? What it means is you must have had at one time feelings of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control toward a person or a people or a circumstance. But then events have somehow changed. And in that change, you began to complain enough and grumble to the point where your heart that was once soft has now become hard. You know, you have met soft people in your life. You see it on their expression. You see it in their eyes. There's just something about them. They are soft-hearted. They wear the softness outside. And likewise, you can know when you've met a hard person. They wear the hardness of life. The nations of the world have become hard against the nations because the nation's heart is not soft any longer to the Lord. In fact, we are a world largely hard toward God. We blame Him. We criticize Him. We mock Him. And then we wonder why the world is so hard. Why hatred is increasing. Why the love of many grows cold. And so where there is hardness, it turns into a natural battlefield, and that natural battlefield is one that can exploit people's hardness, and that enters in the race question. You see, in Acts 6, we discover a simple, charitable process of widows, children, wives receiving food rations turns into an ethnic division. One group of people, hard-hearted, as why the other group of people are there getting a share, and it's turning into discrimination. And this is happening in the midst of salvations and God-centered growth. But even this word discrimination has become so polarizing in our society today, and it means so many things to so many different people, we need to go back to what this word discriminating actually means in Acts 6. Because what it means is that one group of people were no longer regarding the other group of people, which means that these were all people in the same line, for the same provision, and all had the same need, and yet some did not regard others as deserving a share. People, we are all standing in the same line with the same need, wanting the same provisions. And if we cannot regard one another, then we will get hard hearts. And the body of Christ, as the body of Christ, we need to move past the labels of the world and see our brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Be soft toward them, regard them, and walk with them in the same line toward Jesus. But notice here, and I had to put this disclaimer in very clearly. Notice here, this is an action of people who all believed in Jesus. This is not a community mixed with those who hate Jesus and love Jesus. They have a shared common foundation of Jesus, but they have allowed race and cultural divisions to create hard feelings. And so how we treat one another in the body of Christ is very different in how we engage the world. But we must remember the world is not thinking about Jesus one iota, and therefore the world is not on your side yet. But when you are one in Messiah, in Jesus, there is neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free man, rich nor poor. We are one in the Spirit, and we are one in Jesus. And when we are one, we bring this oneness to a world in need of Him. And this brings us to our third point. When division begins to show, go to God. He has the solution. You see, the apostles were earnestly trying to do it all. They were praying, studying, teaching, and trying to manage a growing community. And now life had come to the point where they needed a God solution to this division. They knew they couldn't just drop their calling, but they also knew they were not called to do it all. And it's okay. And it's been a tough lesson for me to learn. It's okay to let things go into other people's care, so as long as you have done so in prayer and letting the Holy Spirit lead. Because when you do, there will be a God solution. So what kind of people do we see in Acts 6? And what kind of people do we see from Acts 6 we need today to help lead our communities and our society? Well, whether they be bankers, politicians, law enforcement, government officials, or they be in the church community, we see two very clear criteria from Acts 6. One, they are your peers from among you that you can trust. And I'm going to cover this in a second. And two, they are men and women full of the Holy Spirit. You see, we need people of both. Not just people who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. A lot of people can say, you can trust me, but there's nothing in their life that tells you you should trust them. And then there are those who say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, but they're not walking the Christ-centered life. So you can't trust that those words are true either. What we need to strive for are men and women who are living the Christ-centered life, and it is showing forth in their lives, so you know the Spirit is within them. And so when they say, trust me, you can trust them because they are living a life that is worthy of being trusted. And so when people came up with this short list of individuals in Acts 6, we see it starts with a man whose name is Stephen, and he's identified as a man who is full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Or said another way, Stephen was a man who was complete in all of his life, and he was full of trust in the Lord and full of God's holiness and character. Perhaps Stephen was just the kind of soft-hearted Jesus leader. And in the midst of all the division, the God solution may be very different of how we will approach the problem, but be guaranteed, whatever the approach is that God gives you, it'll be one that has to be honest, trustworthy, complete in the character of God, and full of His Holy Spirit. And if it's not, then it's not a God solution. And that is the kind of leadership that erases division, chaos,
hate, and violence. That is the kind of leadership that was required in the first century, and it is the kind of leadership we are desperately in need of today in all phases, walks, and professions of society that will cultivate a culture of Christ-centered softness, and that is what brings about real change. Can you imagine what would happen if every one of our executives in every phase of life was honest, sincere, trustworthy, full of the Holy Spirit? We would have a culture that was that would be cultivated by Christ, and that would bring real change to this world. And this brings us to our final point. The God solution will develop God leaders and breed every kind of prosperity. You know, often we get fixated on just one kind of prosperity, just one kind of leader. But a God solution will breed a complete leader, and it will also develop every kind of prosperity. The seven were appointed, they were blessed, and power was imparted unto them to carry out their responsibilities. And the result was leadership and prosperity. The God solution, the Holy Spirit answer, was in the right leaders in all the right areas, and the end result was even greater growth than before. But the prosperity was not just in numbers and resources or wealth. It was in the best kind of prosperity above what we would like to have and see. Acts 6 concludes this portion of text by saying what was prospering most was the Logos, or the Word of God was prospering the most. And what that means is that the promise of His truth went out, and the goodness of His word began to multiply so much that from the common person to the priests, many more were responding and obeying, to the point where they were putting their full trust in this Jesus that was being preached by the apostles and being lived in this growing community. You have no doubt encountered seasons of growth that have also been met with division. Maybe you struggle with hard feelings, and the events of people of life have calcified your softness. Perhaps you're breaking up. There's a division somewhere in your life, and you're just about to let go because you can't hold on any longer. If so, go to God. Return to Him, because He has the only lasting and total solution for you and this world. He wants to develop you into the kind of leader where you will influence your world around you to the reality of a real Jesus that has changed your life, removed your hardness, forgave your debts, set you free, and replaced all of your heavy burdens with a lightness, a freedom, and a liberty to serve Him, share His word, and regarding others, pushing back against the evil and chaos of a failing world. And today we all have the opportunity to make the change at any time. We all want to, but what none of us know is when we will no longer have time. I'm not speaking about some cataclysmic end of the world scenario. I'm talking about just you and Jesus. God has placed you on this wonderful earth, and He has designed plans and purposes for you. And while we are all guilty of stalling out, detours, and distractions, we are never so far removed from His sight that we can't come back and get back on track with what He desires most of all for us. He knows when His word is spread and lived far and wide by us, great things happen and the world changes, not just for the better, but for the best. The violence of this world is real and it is dangerous, But you are just as alive and capable of being the type of God leader that disrupts the evil. And with the Holy Spirit, you are more than just alive. You are a victorious overcomer that defies the world's faulty logic and provides a real direction of escape, freedom, liberty, life, and prosperity for anyone who will follow Jesus. But you need to lead the way. And in the wake of Charleston's grief, we saw a glimpse of what kind of life can be where in the hurt there is forgiveness. And I want to strongly encourage all of us here today to make the changes necessary to escape the trap of the world and advance an amazing God plan in your life for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we now bring this message to an end, we let the truth of your word just rest in our hearts. And now, Lord, we need to respond. And how we respond is crucial, because we've heard your word, and now the word is telling us not to put it off, but to respond today. And we, as the body of Christ, respond in the affirmative. We will step out, be the God leader, shaped by God's word, by the Holy Spirit, and we will counteract the spirit of this world that does not yet understand you.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.